Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I tell you what, y'all are a little more bright-eyed than I thought you'd be. I don't know about y'all. I felt the Spirit here this morning. Maybe we'll just do this every Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. But it's good to be in the Lord's house. He is good and He is great. I tell you what, you know, Mark was talking, I made mention to him there, somebody said something about preaching, somebody said, well, they were getting you to preach so the food wouldn't get cold. I said, just for that, I'm going to preach till the gravy clabbers. I said, but you know, I got to thinking about it, and if the Lord can turn water into wine and feed thousands with just a few loaves and fishes, I think He can keep that gravy all right till we get up there. But it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I thank the Lord for what it is that we have come together to celebrate this morning. Do you know, I think a lot of times that we put a lot of emphasis on Christmas, and it is important. And we might read over there here in a minute. But I tell you what, this today is what it's about. Today is what makes the difference. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because we know that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. But today is what sets us apart from all the others. You know, you can go to where Muhammad is. You can go to where all these other ones are. But when you go to where Jesus was, He's not there. And I thank Him for that today. But, you know, we're going to be eating here in a little while. And I've thought a lot about eating over the course of time. And you can look at me and tell it. But you know what? I believe we joke around about Baptist and eating, but it's biblical. You look at how many times Christ and His disciples came together to eat. You look in the New Testament how many times they come together and eat. You know, I've got an aunt that loves to cook, and I'd never really thought a whole lot about it, but she said one time that when she's cooking for folks, she just prays that the Lord would work through it. You say, well, that's silly. No, it ain't, because God can work through anything. And do you know what? When you can't get nobody to come for anything else, they'll come to eat. And, you know, I thought about that in our family. You know, many times over the years and throughout the year, she'll call and say, y'all come eat. And you know what? It's almost a standing open invitation for anybody that wants to show up. And you know, like all families, we've probably got some that ain't where they ought to be. And we have some that might even be lost. But do you know what? When that dinner bell rings, lots of times they'll come in. And do you know what they see there? They see fellowship. They hear the name of Jesus called out. Let me tell you what, there's something spiritual about eating. And I'm glad we're going to do that here in a little while. But until we do that, we're going to look into the Scriptures just a little bit. We're going to read from over in Matthew chapter number 28 here in just a few minutes. And you know, I was a little worried because Mark probably knows exactly what I'm talking about. But where I thought I was going and the way I thought I was going ain't the way I'm going. But it's all right. But now, don't stand just yet. But I want to talk to you a little bit before we get into the resurrection. Let's talk about what happened. We know how that Christ came. And you know, if you read in your Bible, and I want us to think about this, and I've got the place marked if I can find it here. But and I appreciate Brother Eric being willing to sing what God lays on his heart. You know what? I appreciate that. And for me, it was a confirmation. I was going to read some scripture about the birth of Christ, and I thought, well, they'll think I'm crazy. They don't think I'm any crazier than Eric is. Amen. But over there in the book of St. Luke, and don't stand yet because we're going to read more in a minute. But we see that there when Jesus was born, it says there in the sixth verse of chapter 2 of Luke, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. It goes on in verse 7 to say, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Do you know, we celebrate that and we read that every December, and for years at my house it has been, I guess you would say, tradition that Christmas Eve we sit and we read the Christmas story and we focus on that then. But let me tell you what, the day that Jesus Christ went to Calvary, He was just as innocent and as pure as He was right there. Boy, He was perfect. He wasn't like me and you. But he was perfect, and he went anyway. You know, as he was betrayed, as he was led away, as his disciples departed. And while I'm right there, let me say this. Peter gets a bad rap. Yeah, he denied Christ, but where was the others at? Where were the others? They weren't even there. But we see he was betrayed, he was denied, he was beaten, he was scourged. He had that crown of thorns placed upon his head. He was nailed to Calvary's cross. He was hung between heaven and earth. And yet he still said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the Savior I serve, that perfect Savior. And boy, what a story that is, and what an account that is, and what a wonderful thing it is that he did. And we see then that he died on Calvary's cross. He wasn't in a coma. He wasn't injured severely. He was dead. He gave up the ghost, the Bible tells us. And because of the Passover, because of the Sabbath that was coming, we see that they took him down from Calvary's cross, and in haste they put him in a borrowed tomb. And then in one of the Gospels there we find that it says the next day was the Sabbath, and they rested. And I tell you, I ain't got all there is to get out of that part right there. But boy, they stopped, and they waited. But then, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter number 28, and when you find your place, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, all of those terrible things happened. All of that. I thought what it must have been like for those 3 days just to sit and wait. You know, had a loved one have surgery this week. And you know, I thought a lot on this. And over the years, we've been to many hospitals and sat with folks and loved ones and different things. And that is a hard thing to do, just to sit there and wait. When there is nothing that you can do. When there is nothing that can be done on your part, to just sit and wait. And the disciples sit and waited. Mary Magdalene sat and waited. But then in chapter 28 we see what happens. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, and I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run and bring word to his bring his disciples word." Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's came out to your house on this early Sunday morning. God, I thank you for everyone you've brought in. But Lord, more than anything, we thank you for what it is we're here to celebrate. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, we just thank you so much. Lord, in that we have our hope. Lord, in that we have our faith and our trust. And Lord, we just thank you for it this morning. God, I pray here this morning that you would work among your people. And God, more than anything, God, if there's one here that's lost, Lord, that they've never had that realization of Christ on the cross for them and the victory that he had over the grave, God, I pray that today they would find that. Lord, that you would deal with their heart. Lord, that they would accept you. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I tell you what, we can stop right now and say it's been good to be in the Lord's house. But you know, we've came together this morning, as we said, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Greatest thing that has ever happened in this world. The greatest thing that will ever happen in this world, aside from his return for his bride. But we see here that what took place, we know that how when Christ was crucified, as they were trying to observe the Jewish laws and the things that they were supposed to do, they wanted to get his body in the tomb before the sun set. And because of that, they went in haste. They went there to Joseph's new tomb. It says where nobody had ever been laid. And they wrapped him in those grave clothes, and they laid him in there. And we know how that they sealed that tomb, how that the ones there sealed the tomb, and how they wanted to be sure that nobody could get in. You know, they wasn't real worried about nobody getting out. You know, they might ought to have been thinking in the other direction there. But they wanted to make sure nobody could get in to get that body. But they weren't worried about one getting out. But we see there that in that haste, they had to wait to anoint that body. You see, just like in our society, we've got many traditions and things that we do. And by the way, let me say right here, there's nothing wrong with tradition when it's in the right way and in the right place. Now, the Bible speaks against vain traditions. And ask yourself this, why do you do those things that you do? If it's to glorify Him, if it's to uplift Him, keep right on doing it. If it's about you, you might ought to reconsider it. But we see, as their tradition was, they were going to anoint that body with spices and things. They were going to go in there. And I've always thought it interesting. And let me say this right here. So many times we get the idea that men are here and women are here. That ain't what the Bible says. Bible says there are certain things men are to do and certain things women are to do. The Bible's clear on those. There is a distinction and there is a difference, by the way. But I think it's interesting that the first ones to know that Christ had risen, the first ones to see Him after He had risen, were the women there. I believe men are just too lazy and laying in the bed. Say amen. But we see there they went. It says very early. It says as it began to dawn toward the first day, they went there expecting to find a dead Jesus. They expected to find Him in the condition that they had left Him. They expected to find Him laying there on that old cold piece of stone, wrapped in those grave clothes. They expected, and in another place we find, as they went that way, they worried about who was going to roll that stone away. But they kept going. I think that shows a little bit of faith right there. But we see that they went. But when they got there, they found something. They didn't find what they expected to find. They didn't find that stone in place. They didn't find the dead Savior. But what they found was the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. Do you know, I thank the Lord that when there's things in our life that we just don't know what to do with and we just don't know how to handle it, He's already taken care of it. As I said, as they were on their way to the tomb that day, one thing that bothered them and one thing that they worried about was how they were going to roll that stone away. Do you know what? God took care of that. Do you know what? You may have a stone in your life that needs rolled out of the way. And you might not be able to do it. And you might not be able to handle it. But let me tell you here today that I've got a God that can. I've got a God that can move any obstacle. He can take anything out of the way. Let me tell you here today, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what it is that you struggle with. But God can move it. You know, the Bible tells us over there in one place that if we had the faith as a grain of mustard seeds, we could move mountains. But do you know what? There that day, there was that mountain ahead of them, and God went ahead and moved it out of the way. Do you know why He did that? And I've heard people say this before, that stone rolled away and Jesus walked out. Do you know why I believe that stone was rolled back, as we see depicted here in this on the table here? I believe that wasn't so that Jesus could get out, but so that people could see in. Do you know what? A lot of things God does, He does because He loves us. Not because He needs to, but He just wants us to see. Do you know sometimes in our lives there's things that God does just so we get a glimpse, just so that our faith is made stronger, just so we have the realization of who He is. That stone didn't have to be rolled away for Him to come out, but it had to be rolled away for them to be able to go in. And then they went in and they saw, it says, where He lay. They saw where He had been, but He wasn't there anymore. You know, that is why we are gathered here this morning, is to celebrate what happened there over 2,000 years ago. You know, as we look at this and we see what happened here, we see how that they went, how that they found that angel. I like what the angel says to them. He says, "For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." Now, you say, what's the big deal about that? Now, we realize this was an angel speaking to them. But do you know, I believe in our world today as well, that if we've got the right attitude and the right outlook and doing things for the right reason, people will know that we're seeking Jesus. People will know by our actions that we're seeking Him. Do you know, I could be wrong this morning, but I don't think that y'all got out of bed as early as you did, got ready, and got cleaned up, and you came in here just for a biscuit and gravy. I don't believe that. You know why I believe you're here? Evidence presents to me that you're here because you love Him, because you want to celebrate His birth. Do you know, I believe that people around us can see the things that we do and why we do them. Here the angel says unto them, "For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." Does the world around us say that of us today? Do they realize and know that we're seeking Christ? Are we living in a manner consistent with the Word of God that points Christ to them, or them to Christ? But we see here one of my favorite verses in the Word of God, verse number 6. "He is not here, for He is risen." Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Do you know what? He's giving them, not only, He's not just telling them, but He says, just look. See for yourself. Find out for yourself. Do you know, a lot of folks today, when it comes to things of God, they want the preacher or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher to tell them. But do you know what? Sometimes I believe God just wants us to see for ourselves. See for yourself this morning. He is not there. He is risen. It says there in that verse, "He is not here, for He is risen." Let me say this today. Because He's risen, He is here today. You know what? He wasn't there that day because He had risen. But because He rose that day, He is here with us. And I thank the Lord for that. He says, "Come see the place where He lay." And He tells them then to go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. Behold, He goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see Him. Lo, I have told you. It says they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. But we see there when they left, if you read the other Gospels and put it all together there as we should, we see that they ran. And I've thought many times about this. There's people in this world that likes to run. And they need help. But there's people that enjoy that. I don't. But here we find these women running. We find the disciples when they were coming back running. Do you know what? And the older I get, it takes more and more to get me to run. I've got an uncle. He is one of these just laid back fellers. There ain't much bothers him. He says that he spent 2 years in Vietnam. There ain't much around here bothers him no more. We were down at the beach one time, and there was one of them kind of got a little further out than they should, and several people started to panic, and there they went running out there. He put his flip-flops on, and he walks out there real slow. He says, you know, he ain't going to run for much of nothing. And the older I get, the more I am like that. But here's the thing. This was so important that those adults there that day, in a time where I don't think the average adult ran for exercise, they ran. Why? Because what they had seen was important. Do you know, I believe, and what that shows me, they put forth some effort. To come in this morning, a lot of you had to put forth some effort, didn't you? A lot of you had to put forth effort. But do you know what? Sometimes when we serve the Lord, we've got to put forth a little bit of effort so that others can know what we know. They already knew, but they wanted others to know. Boy, if we had something we wanted to tell anymore, I believe if this had been modern day, they might have texted them or something. But he had them to run and went and told them. But we see there, as they departed, it says they departed with fear and great joy. Do you know what? The the world would say, there's something wrong right there. Them two don't go together. Fear and great joy, how in the world do you put those two together? Well, you know, the Bible tells us that we are to fear the Lord. The Bible also lets us know that as Christians we can have joy. And let me just tell you this. There are things in this life that give me joy but scare me to death. You say, well, what are you talking about? Sitting there about 5 minutes ago is a good example. I am not kidding and not exaggerating. I could feel my heart beating in here and up in my neck. And I thought, well, if I fall out, maybe there's somebody here that'll do something for me. But I had a great fear, but what a joy it is to be able to stand for Him. Do you know, I think about lots of times, maybe in churches, the Lord starts to move and He lays on your heart to testify. And maybe you're one of them people that just don't say a whole lot and it scares you to death. But let me tell you this, keep on, it'll become a joy. Do you know what? Fear and joy can go together. Fear and joy can go together. Here it says that they had that fear and great joy. And they went to tell to bring His disciples word. Let me tell you here this morning, I believe we are to evangelize a lost and dying world. We are to tell them about the Savior that was crucified and is risen. But I believe we find something here that we're to do as well that we neglect many times. They went to bring His disciples word. Do you know what I believe God would have us to do sometimes? Just to be an encouragement to each other. Just to encourage each other along the way. Because you know what? Sometimes it gets tough. And sometimes it gets hard. But do you know, I want to tell you today, that tomb is empty. Boy, the next time He comes, we ain't going to be looking for a cross. We ain't going to be looking for a tomb. We ain't going to be looking for a baby in Bethlehem. But we are looking for a King. And He is coming, folks. Just as sure as we are here today, He is returning. Do you know, lots of times when you get to talking to folks, they don't mind talking about Jesus as a baby. They don't mind talking about His miracles, even His death, and sometimes the resurrection. But when you start talking about His return, they start to look at you funny. But let me tell you this, He is coming back. And one of my favorite things that I say a lot is this, there's a lot I don't know about it, and a lot I don't understand about it. But do you know, however He comes, I'm a-going with Him. You know, like the old preacher said, somebody asked him if he believed if he was coming back on a white horse. And he says, I don't care if he comes back in a white Volkswagen, I'm a-going. He is returning. He is coming to get His church. Here we need to sometimes realize that part of our job as Christians is not only to evangelize the lost world, but to encourage the disciples, to encourage them along their way. You know, as we were reading and studying to stand this morning, we came across something. And let me preface what I'm about to say with this. I wish I had more education. I wish I could read better. I wish I was prettier too. But I wish, and there is nothing wrong with education. I advocate that. Get all that you can. But here's the thing. Sometimes it's those that are at the very pinnacle of education that are sometimes the dumbest. Y'all ever notice that? Amen. But what we, as we were studying, we seen that some people disputed this account. Some people dispute what you find here. We're told in the first verse, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. That's simple, right? So we see, what did they argue about? Whether it was daylight or dark. Because if you read over in the book of John, John describes it as this. It says, I don't know, I'm in the wrong place, so that ain't going to work. We was over there at Lazarus. But over there we find in the 20th chapter, first verse, it says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. They took that difference in the two scriptures as a discrepancy, as saying, this can't be accurate. One says it was dawning the day. The other says that it's dark. You see, it's wrong. But let me tell you what. I thought about that and I prayed about that. And I like how God just shows you something sometimes. I went to bed last night not having an answer, I guess you would say. And by the way, let me say this, not knowing all the answers is okay. It's all right. But I went to bed last night not fully knowing the answer, but on the way down here, I got it. I don't know about y'all, but as I was driving down here this morning, if anybody asked me, I'd have said it's dark. Because without my headlights, I couldn't have seen the road. And I noticed as we came down the bypass, I looked over to the side and the woods was just as dark as could be. It was dark. But do you know what? When I looked up, when I looked up, it wasn't dark. Because why? Because the sun had begun to shine. Let me tell you here and leave you with this morning, church. The old world around us, it is dark. It is black. It is dark. It is just all of the things that we could try to describe. But if we as a church will just look up, boy, that's when we'll see the sun. We'll see the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. But you know, so many of the theologians argued over the accuracy of the scriptures because of that, what they viewed as a discrepancy in those two gospels. But how simple it really is. Was it dark? Yes. Was it dawning the day? Yes. You say, well, how can it be light and dark at the same time? Like I said, get up before the sun comes up once in a while and you'll see. It was dark all around, but the light was there. Folks, let me tell you today, the world we live in is dark, but the light is there. That light is Jesus. He is there because He is risen. That today, I would just urge you to celebrate with me what has been done. And if this morning, as we've brought the scriptures to you, if you've realized you've never accepted Him as Savior, there is no better time than right now. No better place than where we are. I want to ask everyone, if they will, for just a few minutes to stand and bow their heads.